I make no secret tonight that the scriptures that I'm going to read, first of all, they're not new. And sometimes when we read these scriptures, somebody immediately would begin to think, how in the world? We've heard that so many times. It's preached so many times. And what else can come out of it? Well, I want to say that the things I want to preach about or talk about tonight in this service, this message was sparked in my heart by a young preacher that I heard a few days ago. He made reference to this just in a, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes. And it got a hold of me. And the more I thought about it, the greater it became. There's some things I see in this that I did not see before. And I want to talk to us about it here tonight. Acts chapter 3 and reading from verse number 1. And as I've said already, it is familiar. Very familiar territory to us tonight. Acts 3, verse 1. By the way, when camp is over with, we will be in revival with Brother Martin Ballestero. Praise the Lord. I know you're excited about that. Thank God. Isn't that great? And so, in fact, we'll be in revival the week following camp with Brother Ballestero. And then while Sister Bass and I... and Sister Thompson and Sister Williamson go to Brazil for our annual missions trip, he will be here preaching in our absence. And so you might as well just go and have some more revival while we're gone. Pray a few folks through. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily. Everybody say daily. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, with John, said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. If I would title this anything tonight, I guess I could title it The Need Behind the Need. Last Sunday night, I think Brother Witt preached on our need of the Lord. And if I titled it, I don't really know, you know, exactly what to title this tonight. But if I did, I'd just probably call it The Need Behind the Need. And the thing that I have noticed and the thing I saw in this scripture is, and of course we've heard it referred to, we've heard others speak about it, and there's been so many things that have been talked about where this particular incident in Scripture is concerned. But the Bible said this man was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And everybody said Beautiful. And of course we've heard people make reference to the fact that this man had an ugly problem in a beautiful place. And there's been messages preached on that, and rightfully so. They are true. He did have an ugly problem. He was lame, and he was not able to walk. The Bible said that he was not only lame, but he was lame from his mother's womb, which means that he was born this way. He came into this world in this condition. And the truth of the matter is, church, all of us came into this world in a certain condition. We didn't come in this world saved. We came in this world lost. We were born lost. The Bible teaches us by the mouth of David that we were conceived in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. So we didn't come in this world right. We came in this world wrong. We didn't come in this world saved. We came in this world lost. And just give me some time tonight without feeling like I've got to fit a certain mold or a certain pressure to perform a certain way here tonight. There's some things I want to talk about because I see that we still have needs in our lives where living for God is concerned. This man was lame from his mother's womb, and every day they carried him to the same place. Every day they laid him at the beautiful gate, or the gate that was called the beautiful gate, that was in the city of Jerusalem. And he went there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He was asking alms because he could not fend for himself. He could not help himself. He was without the strength that he needed. He was without the condition necessary for him to make it on his own. That's the way all of us were. Amen. Every one of us were in that condition. We were in the condition of not being able to help ourselves. We were in the state that essentially was such that we needed the help of someone else. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice, that every day this man went to that gate of the temple and he was placed there, his need never changed. His need was the same. Even though that he was set at the temple gate, even though that he sat there throughout the course of the day and he begged for alms, and when he got up the next morning, he had the same need. He needed more alms. He needed more to make him be able to survive. He needed more that would help him to make it through another day. So his needs never changed. And the reason that his need never changed is because the need behind the need was never met. Amen. The change that he really needed in his life was never met. Every day he went back to that gate and had the same need. I want to tell you tonight that sometime we can come to the house of the Lord with the same need over and over and over again. And the reason is because the need that we really have need of has not been taken care of. The problem behind the problem has not been satisfied, has not been changed, has not been, something's not been done that really needs to be done. You find sometime that we are praying for people over and over again for the same situation, for the same problem, coming to the church, coming to the house of worship, coming to the sanctuary, and praying for the same thing over and over again. And the reason we're having to do it is because the need behind the need hasn't been met. The real change that would make the difference in that individual's life has never taken place. I believe it's important tonight that you and I realize when we come to the house of worship that we might think in our mind that we have a certain need. But that's not really what we need. Well, praise the Lord. I'm coming to church tonight and I need a blessing. Because if I don't get a blessing tonight, I may not be able to make it. I may not be able to live for God. It's not another blessing that you need. It's not more alms that you need. What you need is a change of heart that says, I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what I'm dealing with, whether I get the blessing or not. I now have feet to walk on. I now have the strength and the spirit that I need to be able to survive no matter what I have to face. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. We come to church sometime with a certain perception of what our need is. And the Lord may be looking at us saying, I have the real answer for you. You are so used to getting alms. You are so used to getting a handout. You are so acclimated and accustomed to just someone doing something for you every day. What I'd like to do is put you in the position of being able to do something for somebody else. Whoa, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. I'd like to change your whole perception of things. I'd like to make a difference in your life.
Amen. All right. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Probably one of our greatest needs is a change in how we think. Somebody say amen. It's our perception of living for God. It's our perception of who we are in God. Praise the Lord. It's our idea of who we are. I'm going to tell you what the adversary would like for all of us to think, and that is that we, because we were sinners, because we were lost, because we were failures, because we were nothing but a bundle of mistakes, he would like for you to think when you come to God in a born again of water and spirit that you have not changed. You are the same failure. You are the same mistake. You are the same in the same state of mind, and that you'll never be successful in living for God. Israel had that problem. Amen. There's a term that's used. And that term that's used is called a paradigm. Now, a paradigm is a mindset. A paradigm is how you view things based on how you've been programmed to view them. Amen. You see it in a certain way. And because you're looking from a particular perspective, what you see is influenced and affected by that perspective. It's called a paradigm. It's a mindset. It's how you see things. Israel had that problem. Israel came out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Oh, what work God did bringing them out. 10 plagues. The last plague that broke the yoke, the final yoke upon them, and they walked out of Egypt by the power of Almighty God. They were set free. They were a people that had been delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. They were no longer slaves. They had been slaves for many, many years, building pyramids, building great edifices in Egypt, and whatever else that the Egyptians had them do, they were in slavery. They were in bondage. They were constantly being whipped by the taskmasters, masters of Egypt that was over them. They constantly, amen, berated them. They constantly caused them to be programmed with the mindset of being a slave. So that when they came to the borders of Israel, the land of Canaan, when they came to those borders and they went over and surveyed the land and they came back and said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. Look at the pomegranates. Look at the grapes. Look at all of the beautiful things that we brought back from the land of Canaan. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. However, we are like grasshoppers in our sight. He didn't say we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They said we're like grasshoppers in our sight. You know what Israel's problem was? They had the mindset, they had the paradigm of being a slave. I want to talk to you tonight. I believe there's some folks in this place around here tonight that God wants to liberate you from that mentality that says you're barely going to make it. You're barely going to survive. You really are not going to be beneficial to the work of God and the things of God. I am here tonight to tell you that it was God that set you free from sin. It was God that broke the yoke of bondage upon your life. It was God that brought you out. It is God that will bring you in. And it's God that's going to help you have the victory. Come on, if you believe that, clap your hands right now to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so their mindset was, we're still little. We're still beaten down. We're still slaves. We're still in that mindset that we can't fend for ourselves. But Joshua and Caleb stood up recognizing that it was not by might and it wasn't by power. It was by the Spirit of the living God. And they said, we are well able to overcome. We can do it. And the reason they could say it is because they
refused to live in the paradigm of slavery. Come on now. They refused to live in the paradigm of the past and what it used to be, and began to live in the power of Jehovah God that would give them great victory in the land of Canaan.
Praise the Lord. Let me just connect that with this lame man. The lame man is sitting at the gate and he is asking alms. Now Peter said, look on us. You know why he had to say look on us? It's because the beggar was like this. Hallelujah. Come on, he had the mindset of a beggar. He couldn't meet the eyes of those that he was reaching for something from. He couldn't look them in the eyes. He was a beggar. He was a man that couldn't fend for himself. He was a man that needed the help. He had the same need every single day. And consequently, he could not look in the eyes of those that passed his way. He was living with the mindset of a beggar. I'm going to use a couple of examples tonight you've already heard before. But it fits the service and it fits the message for tonight. Praise the Lord. You have got to realize that when Peter looked at him and said, look on us, what he was trying to do was say to that beggar, get your eyes up from where you are. I'm about to give you a different paradigm. I'm going to give you a different mindset. You've come here day after day for alms, but I'm about to show you that there's a new life to live. God can change things. A miracle can take place in your life. Hallelujah. Jesus enters into Jericho, and the Bible said he passes through Jericho. And you've heard me make reference to the fact that it seems like nobody got a miracle in Jericho. Because twice the scripture teaches us he went through Jericho, passed through Jericho. No work was done in Jericho. But on the other side of Jericho, there was a man who was blind. Hallelujah. Who, when he heard Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, blind man, son of a blind man. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Just, if you will, help me remember Matthew 16, okay? I say unto thee that thou art, okay? Amen. Hold on to that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. He was son of a blind man. He was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. That's what Bar means, or son of. And so he was a blind man, and he was a man that was without sight. And they had to help him. He had to find his way by groping in darkness. And when he heard Jesus was passing by, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they, of course, tried to quiet him down. And he cried the louder. And Jesus said, bid him to come. Tell him. And they said, the Lord's calling for you. You know what the Bible says? And it fits right here. That the man, the Bible said, removed his cloak. What cloak was that? It was the cloak that identified him as a blind man. It was the cloak that told everybody, that man is blind. Help him out. Give him some room. Show him how to get to where he's going. It was an identity factor. But Bartimaeus, whenever he got the hearing that the Lord was calling, he said, I'm taking this thing off. I'm removing my mindset. I'm not going to be a blind man anymore. I'm not going to be a servant to my problem any longer. You hear me what I'm telling you? I refuse to be a servant to my problem. I refuse to serve my needs, my wants, my situations. I'm about to have a change in how I think. The man at the gate was a servant to his needs. I said he was a servant to his needs. He was a servant to the state that he was in. And he didn't see any way out. Until Peter said, look on us. Now read Matthew chapter 16. Where Jesus said, I say unto thee. No, back up to that. When he said, yeah, thou art the Christ, Son of the living, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then what did Jesus say? All right, stop right there. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah. Right. Hallelujah. Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, son of the man that carries the name that identifies with running from God, with running from the things of God, running from the Word of God, running from the presence of God. Well, praise the Lord. Jonah, the one in the flood. Jonah, the one in the whale. Jonah, that's got the old history in Israel. Simon, son of Jonah.
Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee.
Come on now.
But my Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say unto thee.
What?
Thou art Peter.
Thou, wait a minute. He's first of all called him by his real name. He called him by what he was known by. Simon, son of Jonah. Bar Jonah. Son, amen, of the man whose name means so much that relates to going against God. But he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to change your mindset. You're not a man sinking to the bottom of the sea. You're not a man that's losing because of running from God. You're Peter. You're a rock. Amen. You're a rock. I'm going to change your mindset. I'm going to change how you think. I'm going to change your paradigm in life. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so whatever else you want to say about those verses, but Jesus, right at that moment in time, was changing how that man thought about himself. He was changing that man's name. He was changing who he was and what he was. He was letting him know from this time out, it's never going to be the same again. From this point, I'm letting you know ahead of time, I got plans for you. I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm going to do a work in you, and I want you to know right now, I say you are Peter. Your daddy calls you Simon. Your mama names you Simon. You are the son of Jonah. You are Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah. But I say, I want to tell somebody, in fact, I want to tell all of us here tonight, the Lord has some things to say about who we are and what we are. He has some things to say about this church. He has some things to say about who we are and where we're going. He has some plans in mind, but what we have to do is let the Lord touch the real need behind our needs. And that real need is our paradigm. It's our mindset. It's how we're seeing things. You've got to rise up like the Apostle Paul and begin to declare like he did, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't do it by myself. I'm a failure on my own. But I can do all things through Christ. What this man really needed at the gate was a change in his mindset. Look on us. Every place in Scripture that you find men going through certain traumatic times, separations, divisions, God doing a work, you find the Lord calling them to lift up their eyes. Abraham standing looking down the hill. And he's watching the receding crowd that's following after his nephew, Lot. They've had some problems. And there's been a separation. There's a sense of loss. There's a sense of where to from here. And the voice of God spoke to Abraham and said, lift up now your eyes from where you are. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward. Look all around you. He said, the land that you see, I'm about to give it to you. Now, let me tell you something. That may not mean much to you until you back up just a little bit and you hear Abraham telling Lot, listen, Lot, you choose wherever you want to go. And he said, if you want to go that direction, I'll go this direction. If you want to go this way, I'll go this way. What he was saying was, Lot, let me tell you something. I'm giving you first choice and I'll take whatever's left over. I'm going to tell you, too many times we get that leftover spirit about us. Huh? I'll just take what's left over. Devil, you go and get whatever you want, and I'll see if I can't handle what's left over. But God said, Abraham, that's not the mindset that I want you to have. I'm not pleased with you having what's left over. He said, look north, south, east, and west. He said, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. That means he looked in the very direction that Lot was walking. He looked in the very direction that Lot was traveling in. He looked every way. God was saying, Abraham, I'm not giving you leftovers. I'm giving you the best. I'm giving it all to you because I promised it to you. I have a covenant with you, and I'm going to work with you. Can I tell you tonight that we are not just some club sitting on the side of 35th Street, amen, trying to figure out what our membership is going to be and who that we're going to have or not have. No. We are the Church of Jesus Christ that has been bought with His blood, baptized in His Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, if you please. We have been, glory to God, we have been redeemed. We are the children of the Most High God. Royal blood flows in our veins. There is a touch of God upon our life. We need to realize who we are and let God change our mindset. You see, the reason sometimes that we come back to the same place with the same need is because we don't see ourselves any different. We don't see ourselves any different than what we always were. And so we come back with the same need. But if we could get a revelation, if we could get a touch in our mind to help us understand, Brother Tommy Morgan, you touched on it tonight, and I believe that that is absolutely the truth. It is the truth. When you go back in Scripture and you find that Abraham made a covenant with God, and that back in the Old Testament, back in Bible times, when there was a covenant made between two men, they may not have been blood brothers, but whenever they are brothers by way of birth, but when they became blood brothers by way of a covenant, amen. We understand by history and even by the Word of God that when they made a covenant with one another, what they were saying is that we will forever help one another. We will forever be joined to one another. If I'm in a battle, amen, you'll come over and help me. If you're in a battle, I'll go over and help you. It was a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, and God said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to tell you, the covenant that God made with Israel still stands tonight. Amen. Because God does not break a covenant. Come on, church. I said, God, that covenant God made with Abraham still stands with God tonight. The Jews are still a people that hold a special place with God. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, and we know that covenant was initiated by circumcision. And we understand that. That's how it all came about. But when, in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes in the second chapter, and he said that we are buried with him, or that we are Let me get this right. Praise the Lord. He said that we should not be... Give me Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Start reading right there. Amen. 2 and 8. I'm not going to be much longer, so hold on just a few more minutes.
Beware lest any man spoil you.
Yeah.
Through philosophy.
Yeah.
Deceit.
All right.
After the tradition of men.
Let's stop. Listen. Beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest any man give you the wrong mindset. Spoil you by what?
Philosophy.
Vain deceit.
After the tradition of men.
All right.
After rudiments of the world.
Yeah.
And not after Christ.
After Christ. Go ahead.
For in him dwells all the fullness.
Yeah?
And you are completely.
Whoa, wait a minute. You are what?
Complete.
Come on, somebody help me right now. You are what?
Complete.
Come on, we're not. God didn't do this halfway with us. When you got the Holy Ghost in this altar and you were baptized in Jesus' name, he didn't do a halfway work. The Bible said you are complete in him.
Amen.
Come on, you are complete. You are total. You're not some half-wit. You're not a dim-wit. You're complete in him. Go ahead.
Which is the head of all principality and power.
Go ahead.
And whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Go ahead.
Buried with him in baptism.
Buried with him. In baptism. That's my verse right there. He said, back up to verse number 11. He said that we have been, somebody help me here, verse 11. Where are we? Praise the Lord. Amen. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now verse number 12. Buried with him. What he's saying is, baptism initiated your covenant with Jesus Christ. You are in a covenant relationship. Come on now, which means that if you fail, if you make a mistake, and you come back to the altar, and you say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. He's bound by the covenant. He's bound by the covenant to forgive you and to cover you again with his blood. He has to respond because there's a covenant between you and him. There's been a circumcision, not of the flesh, not as it was with Abraham's time, but there's been a circumcision, amen, of sin, the works of the flesh. It has been taken care of by being buried with him in baptism. When you went down in water in the name of Jesus Christ, there was a covenant made between you and him. And you became a covenant child with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that means that he's bound. That when you pray, hallelujah. Brethren, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have. I almost preached a message here tonight about all the we haves in the New Testament. I'm going to say that for later. We got a lot of haves. We have some things. I'll get to that one later. This is the one I felt just before service. The Holy Ghost began to get a hold of me on this. Amen. We are covenant children. We have been united with Jesus Christ in a covenant relationship by baptism. That means that when I come to him, I'm not coming back as a sinner.
Right.
I'm not coming back as someone lost. Come on, church. I'm coming back to him as a child. Like a son would to his father, like a daughter would to her mother. Coming back to the parents, coming back to seek for forgiveness. When I come back to him, I'm not coming back as being one who was estranged, being one that's lost, being one that's without Christ in the world. I'm coming back with as one who is in a covenant relationship. And he's bound by the covenant to forgive me and to wash the slate clean and send me on my way. Now, that's one thing that you and I need to understand tonight, is we're covenant children with Jesus Christ. We're not just, you know, old Joes walking the street. Amen. Sally, Sue's, or Jane's, it doesn't matter. We're children of the Most High God. That's the number one thing we need to realize. Number two, we need to understand that there needs to be a change in our mindset. Do you know, do you have any idea? You got any change? Anybody got any change on you? Come on. Oh, Lord have mercy. What's the matter with this bunch here? Anybody got any change? Give me some change. You got something? Yeah. What's the matter? You broke? Well, give me a dollar then. Did she give you your allowance this week? Amen. Yeah, there she did. That's good. Thank you. Here, I won't take no more from you then. But, can you imagine what it felt like to that lame man to go down the street looking for somebody? Can you imagine what it felt like for him to go and make some money and go down the street looking for somebody lame? He had a change of mindset. He had a paradigm shift. He went from being a beggar to helping the beggars. I believe that. I don't have any doubt in my mind that that man, whenever he went out and began to make it on his own, you see, his real need was met. And sometime our paradigm needs a shift. Our mindset needs a change. That we go from saying, gimme, 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 to saying, who can I be a help to? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I witness to? You know the message that was preached here on Wednesday night, and what a tremendous message that Brother Worthing preached here on Wednesday night, that we need to get some oil in our saddlebags. We need to get some cloth, some things to bind up the wounded. We need to get some good old Holy Ghost wine in the saddlebags, and we need to get out there instead of always coming to the beautiful place called the church saying, church, help me again. I got the same problem. That the Lord, you would let him touch your life and change how you think. And then walk out and say, I'm looking for somebody else. I'm looking for a beggar. I'm looking for somebody. I got to quit. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Well, this is in my heart. This is in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit tonight. Let me tell you something. Don't quit coming to the beautiful place. Because there's plenty of folks with alms who will help out. Hallelujah. Went in the lobby or the conference room tonight, and by the time I walked in with the preacher, Sister Tyndale walks in. I said, what do we have, a new preacher with us tonight? She said, absolutely. She said, don't you know it was a woman that carried the gospel first? You hear it all the time? Hallelujah. And now we really know how to pray for you. Actually, we thought it was her that we was needing to pray for. Now we realize it's really you that we need to pray for. Of course, that wasn't all she said. She looked up and said, y'all try it. Hallelujah. God help these women. That's why God waited till last. Everything else was done before he did that. Amen. We won't even go there. But the lame man needed a change in his mindset instead of being one who was reaching for more. I have to believe that he was a man that went looking for someone else who had a need. Sometime when we come to the house of worship. Now, let me back up. Let me rephrase. Let me restate what I was going to say. Don't quit coming to the beautiful place. Because there's plenty of alms
And we're going to keep helping you. But what we're praying for is that one day you'll lift up your eyes. And you'll realize that there's a new life that you can live. You don't have to live a beat down life in God. Amen. Come on. You don't have to always live in guilt. You don't have to always live in shame. You don't always have to live day after day after day feeling like that you are a total failure. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody here tonight. You don't have to live like that. There can be a touch of God in your life that changes how you think. And you can become the giver instead of the receiver. You can come to the house of worship, and when you walk in, you're looking for somebody to pray with that night. You're not looking for the church to pray with you. You're looking for someone to pray with. Is there somebody up here I can pray with? Is there somebody else that I can help? Is there someone else I can encourage? Looking around to see if somebody's a little bit down and out, you can walk over and give them a big old smile and shake their hand and say, I love you. It's good to see you in church. There's a lot of things we can do to be a blessing to somebody else. There's a need behind the need. You see, giving alms to the beggar, all that did was address the effect of the cause. The effect was he had to beg because he was lame and he couldn't fend for himself. The cause of his problem was he was lame. And a lot of times we're only contributing to the effect. It's really what our federal government's doing day in and day out. All they're doing is just dealing with the effect. If they would start dealing with the cause. But you see, federal government can't do what really needs to be done. Because you see, they see it as a social problem. It's not a social problem. It's a spiritual problem. And politics and governmental funding and all of that cannot help spiritual problems. And the solution to abortion is back here, living a life that's right and pure and clean. That's the solution to that. It's going back to the root cause. And sometimes the problem that we feel we have to constantly have help with week after week and month after month and year after year, God could make the difference in that so that you're not a beggar coming back to a beautiful place. But you have become one who now sees the world from a different perspective. You see it as one I can contribute now. God's touched me. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Simon? Or Jonah? Blessed are you. And I'm fixing to tell you how blessed you are. I'm fixing to give you a name change. From this point on, you're not going to be identified with a man who ran from God. You're going to be identified as a rock, a solid place. Hallelujah. Change some things. God wants to change some minds around here. The Lord wants to change our mindset. We see ourselves, some of us see ourselves as a failure. You're always, come on church, you're always working to try somehow or the other. You're doing everything you can to make yourself feel like that, well, maybe God is finally smiling on me today. A lot of times the reason that we deal with that is because we have a mindset from our childhood that we were always told we were a failure, we were no good, we could never be saved, we're lost, you're stupid, you're dumb, you don't have any sense. Sometimes our mind can be so twisted in that direction. And I'm not talking about self-help here tonight. I'm not talking about psychology. I'm talking about a touch of God that will help you realize that when you went down in water in Jesus' name and you were filled with the Holy Ghost, He was as happy with you that night as if you were a preacher
that was preaching and 50,000 people got the Holy Ghost in one service because you happened to become his child. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. If you listen, you fight sometimes in your spirit, you war in your mind because the enemy is constantly telling you it's never changed. He's wanting you to see yourself as a slave of the past and that you'll never advance. And the Lord is saying, come on over to the winning side. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. You're not going to do it by yourself. But if you come on over here, I'll help you do it. You know, I'm hoping that the Holy Ghost will let this thing get into us tonight. Get a hold of us. I'm hoping some folks begin to realize that you don't have to struggle the way you're struggling. You don't have to fight the way you're fighting in your mind that you're never good enough. You know, there are people that actually believe. There's folks that's not here tonight. I'm not saying that as far as people, current people that's part of this church or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about down through the years. There are people that have left because you know what they're thinking? They're thinking is, I'm not good enough for the church. And so they quit coming. I'll never be like everybody else. Can I tell you something? We don't want you to be like everybody else. No more than I want everybody to be like me. Everybody has different personalities. Everybody's got different likes and dislikes and tastes and all of that. We're all different. Well, I can't play music and I can't sing and I can't do this and I can't do that. And I've simply looked at them sometime and I've asked them the question, can you pray? Well, yes, I can pray. Well, then, brother, we need prayer warriors around here. We can use some prayer warriors. Can I tell you tonight, we are not defeated. I don't care what the devil says. We're not defeated. He's the one who was already defeated at Calvary. Do you understand tonight that the devil is already defeated? Calvary defeated him. You say, then what is this that I keep fighting? What is this I keep warring with? It is a liar. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a liar. One that's telling you, that is lying to you. He cannot even tell the truth. He's lying to you, telling you that he has the victory. He don't. He's already been defeated. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a beggar in a beautiful place. I want to have a change, a shift in my paradigm, a shift in my mindset, a shift in how I see things. I'm not a beggar any longer. I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. I am a miracle. Everybody in this house needs to say that. I am a miracle. Amen. You're a miracle standing in this house. You know why you're a miracle standing in this house? Because it was a miracle that you were saved. It was a miracle that you came out of sin. It was a miracle that you were delivered from bondage. It was a miracle that you came out of false doctrine. It was a miracle that you were set free from the bondages of sin. You can talk about physical healing all you want, friend. Let's talk about some spiritual things. You are a miracle standing in this house here tonight. Come on. It was a miracle that you were delivered from alcohol. It was a miracle that you were delivered from drugs, from a lifestyle of sin and shame. It was a miracle that God set you free. You're a miracle. Hallelujah. I said, you're a miracle. You need to walk through your day tomorrow saying, I happen to be a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle child. I wasn't born dead. I was born alive. I didn't have a stillbirth. I had a live birth. The Lord set me free. I refuse to be one. Let me tell you something. The need never changes until the real need is met. Come on. Your needs in God will never change until the real need is taken care of. You will fight the same battles. You will war with the same things. You will deal with the same things until you reach a point where God touches the real need. I am convinced tonight that our greatest need is a change in how we think. Come on, saints. Oh, God, help us tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel, but I just kind of like to pray about this for a while. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray about this. Amen. God, I don't want to be a beggar. I don't want to be one who's always coming to a beautiful place waiting on a handout. I want to be one looking for somebody. I want to be one going out trying to find somebody that was in the condition I was in. That's why I'm standing up here preaching, because let me tell you something, church. I've been preaching for 35 years, but I want you to know I suffered many years and I've faced a lot of things through life, amen, that affected how I thought. Until I begin to realize the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Until I begin to realize that I'm a child of God. Amen. Until I realize I don't have to work to please Him. All I have to do is just live, worship, magnify Him, glorify Him. I know what it is to fight a mind battle. I know what it is to fight the thinking, the perception, the paradigm of a slave. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm trying to help some others. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to live in that frame of reference. There's a need behind the need. And the Lord wants to touch that tonight. And He wants to deliver you and set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I just wonder tonight if there would be anyone. Now, listen, before you come up here, here's what I want you to do. I do not want you to come up here and kneel down and put your face in the carpet. Peter said, look on us. He started looking a different direction. Get your eyes up. Get your eyes up. Start looking up. When you come up here tonight, I want you looking up. Reaching up. Looking up. Reaching up. Looking up. He said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. Such, the Bible said it took him by the hand. That means the beggar had to reach out. Come on now. Not only did he have to look up, he had to also reach out and get a hold of his hand. And not only that, but whenever the Apostle Peter began to pull, he had to surrender. He had to yield to what was happening. And I believe that there was a combination of factors. Looking up, reaching out, and when the pull began to come on him, he surrendered to it, and his legs were made whole. He received strength in his ankle bones. There's some folks here tonight that you've been seeing yourself as a beggar. You've come to church time after time with needs. But you'd like to change that. And if that's how you feel tonight, would you be so bold, so courageous, as to step out and walk down front and lift your hands? And as you lift your hands, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The preachers, the ministry here tonight, they're going to walk right down and they're just going to start laying hands.